from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, now, Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Indianapolis by the Bottle Rockets. That's just Missouri's own Bottle Rockets. A song about breaking down in Indianapolis and getting stuck there. I guess the Pacers are stuck in Indianapolis since they will not be going to Boston for a game five.
All right, we'll get to the two series in a moment. Where are you?
I am at my house, my new house in St. Paul, Minnesota, sitting in the we have turned into a reading nook in our bedroom, and here I am.
So how is it? How is the new house?
Well, we're in the process of moving in, so it's a complete mess at the moment. One of our pods was delivered this morning. The other pod's getting delivered this afternoon. God. The movers are coming to move things from the pods into the house tomorrow morning. You know, we brought a U-Haul worth of stuff on our own. And then I hauled some more stuff over from my mother-in-law's house, and, you know.
Oh, my God. What a giant pain in the ass. It feels like you've been doing this for 5 years, honestly.
I've been doing it for about 7 months on and off. I mean, it's from my wife starting the job to the move, it's been about 7 months. But not all that super active. But, I put together a bed frame for my son and a dresser for my son yesterday.
Congratulations.
Today I'll be putting back together our laundry room. We had they had basements in the Twin Cities and basements leak. And so we had this thing called drain tiles put in to keep the basement dry. As a consequence of that, they tore apart our laundry rooms. So I got to go figure out if I'm capable of reconnecting all of the washers and dryers and all that today.
I saw that you had what you called your last meal in Memphis until you're back in a month, because you'll be around here a lot still. And I've told the listeners you're still going to be here and still going to be writing for the Daily Memphian, which you made clear. But your last meal in Memphis was at Los Pecos. What's the name of the place?
Los Pecosos.
I've never been there. Was this strategic? Was this what?
No, it wasn't really. It wasn't like what do we want our last meal? Our last meal in Memphis was actually like whatever leftovers we had for dinner at my parents' house.
Right.
But my wife and I had errands to run that took us to sort of that rough midtown, you know, near East Memphis-y part of town. And we had an hour to kill, and we were hungry, so we wanted lunch, and we wanted, you know, cheap lunch. And I suggested Los Pecosos, one of my favorite places, my favorite Mexican places. And it was Friday, which as a bonus, and I've since been told they now do this every day. It used to be only weekends, but sometimes you could get it on Friday. Their smoked chicken, one of my favorite dishes in town, which I've written about before, and that's what I had. So that was quite satisfying.
Is it smoked chicken? Do you get a quarter chicken or something, or what is it? How is it?
You can do a quarter. I got a quarter for lunch, but you can do a half chicken. You can do a whole chicken and split it up among people. But the chicken plate comes with refried beans, rice, and French fries, and a little salad situation and tortillas to go with it. So it's quite.
And you recommend it? All right. Okay, before we get to the two series, you are a fan of big men. But I don't.
Yep.
Do you have much recollection of Bill Walton as a player?
I mean, to the sense that, like, I know my history, but not in terms of in the moment recollection.
Yeah.
He was at the very end coming off the bench for Boston by the time I was paying attention to the NBA. And so, you know, that great Blazers team was well before my time.
Right.
Which, you know, Lionel Hollins was on, won the title.
Maurice Lucas, Dwayne Towardzik, Lionel Hollins.
Yeah.
I don't know who else was on that team.
Was it Johnny Davis, maybe?
I think it was Johnny Davis. Yeah, great.
And so, like, that, you know, David Halverson wrote the book. Of the game, which was not about that season. It was about sort of the next season. But that season, that title-winning season for that team was maybe one of the great, you know, individual player runs. Like Walton sort of grabbed the mantle of the best player in the world, you know, that year. And, you know, in terms of peak value, one of the greatest ever. He just didn't have the right career to back it up because of injuries.
Yeah, so that's where, in the history, I mean, you think, I mean, it's a better version of Penny Hardaway. Like, Penny Hardaway at his best was never, you know, it was never won the MVP, which Bill Walton did. But you do, when you think of Bill Walton, you think of the injuries too, right? I mean, that's a huge part of the story.
Yeah, he was, you know, best player in the world there for a minute. He had next sort of after Kareem for a little bit, although Kareem continued on after that. But he sort of grabbed the mantle as the guy for a brief little bit, and then the injury hit, and he sort of resurfaced as one of the best, you know, off the bench six men. I think he won Sixth Man of the Year, one of the early ones for the Celtics, and obviously had a great career at UCLA before that. But, you know, and sort of followed Kareem / Lou Alcindor at UCLA, and so he was sort of the guy who came up after Kareem and sort of that lineage of great centers.
He was also a great passing big man. And that's sort of an interesting how that is. Like, there was the West Enfield outlet passes, and then there was but then there was Sabonis, the original. The Sabonis, the senior, was considered a great passer.
No, Walton was, I'm not saying he played exactly the same way, and I felt like I've been, you know, really digging into the tape watching his games, but I've read plenty, you know. I think Walton was sort of a precursor to Jokic in terms of the center you run your team through in that way. Not only as a scorer, not only you dump it down and he scores, but you run things through and he's a passer and playmaker, and like really that's the hub of your team.
All right. We got two series. It appears, well, who knows? We may have one more game left and then our finals are set. Let's take the Boston series first. Obviously, they have gotten an easy draw, given the injuries that they have been gifted, the diminished lineups that they have had to play. They've also been in a situation, though, wherein, you know, games 1, 3, and 4 easily could have lost them all. If you looked at the ESPN, you know, predicting thing, at some point, Indiana had a 90% chance of winning the game, and they have found a way. Are we seeing a more mature, clutch Celtics team, or are we seeing them playing inferior opponents, or some of both?
I don't know. I mean, they've also got hit with a major injury, right?
That's
like,
true.
Among the teams hit with major injuries in the East is the Boston Celtics, who lost an All-Star level player, Chris Porzingis. Maybe they'll get him back for the
finals. Fair.
There was talk about him coming back, you know, late in the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. We never got to late in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, I think the goal is to win the game. And, like, they've been really good at winning the game. And they've been good at that all season long. Not only have they dominated the Eastern Conference in these playoffs, they dominated the Eastern Conference in the regular season. Like, no one was even remotely close to them in the Eastern Conference in the regular season. I do think they got a good draw in the sense that the teams they faced were banged up. But also, they didn't face the best teams they could have faced. Philly was never whole. The best version of Philly would have been better than the teams they faced. The Knicks fell apart before they were able to get there. The best version of the Knicks would have been better than the teams that Boston faced. You know, Milwaukee had their issues. And so the higher ceiling team, non-Boston teams in the East, A, didn't reach their ceilings and also didn't reach the Celtics in the playoffs. And so, they had an easy draw, but, like, they've lost two games, you know, in the whole run. And they are the best team on paper, and they win all the games. And, like, I don't know
something
what you do.
That.
Like, it is what it is.
Right.
You know?
There's certainly something to that. Indiana, it feels a little bit like the Grizzlies. They're younger. Their best player is still young. So it feels a little bit like the Grizzlies run to the finals, and that they got a nice draw, and they ended up in the finals, and it's hard to know if or when they'll ever be back, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be, you know, they're going to be a team that's sort of scuffling to try to get the 4 seed or whatever in the East next year, not a team you're going to predict to be one of the top two teams, although it's sort of unsettled. Like, I don't know who's going to be predicted to be the second best team in the East next year. Is it going to be New York? You know, it might be New York. What's Milwaukee going to do around Giannis? What's Philly going to do where they have, like, two players under contract, which are their two best players, but what's the rest of the team going to look like? Kind of out of the question that the Pacers, you know, you bring Siakam back, you get Benedict Mathurin injured back, you know, some guys get better. That's not out of the question. But they're sort of going to be a team in the mix. in the East, like among teams chasing Boston. That, and they are unlikely to be favored to be the primary challenger to Boston next season.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's so much. It feels like there's going to be, among the teams that have been remaining, that are there's going to be a lot of stability. Like Denver will be back as looking like Denver. Dallas will be back looking like Dallas. Minnesota, presuming, I guess, will be back looking like Minnesota. Like we go to right down Boston, et cetera. But then there could be seismic shifts among the Miamis, the Golden States, the Philadelphias. In the teams that sort of have aspired, maybe the ones that have slipped from greatness or whatever, it feels like that's where the action is going to be in the NBA this offseason.
Yeah, I think Philly in particular. I mean, you got a top five player when he's healthy in Embiid. You got this emerging star in Maxey. You got this major market. You got lots of expectations, and you have massive cap room.
Right.
Because you have to get at least 12 other players into that team. And so a lot of people looking at
Paul George.
George is a free agent. He's a perfect fit. Does he want to actually leave Southern California where he's from? If he's looking for a good basketball situation, Philly's an awful good one. That could be a major shift from one conference to another of like a major player. And then I think Cleveland, you look at Cleveland, not just in terms of Cleveland, but in terms of what they're going to mean to other teams. If you start breaking that up, is Mitchell going to stay? Is Mitchell going to get dealt? If he gets dealt, where's he going? Or is he going to be Garland and that kind of stuff? So I feel like the Paul George Philly situation and the Cleveland situation are sort of top of the list for me, off the top of my head.
All right. The other series, obviously, Luka's been stone cold killer. Kyrie has been tremendous, and that seems to have been the difference. Your thoughts on that series?
Yeah, when people wonder, is 22 too young to make this leap for Anthony Edwards? The answer is yes, it seems like, among other things. I mean, it's funny. At one point in the playoffs, we were talking about this like the ascendance of Anthony Edwards is the story of the playoffs, and we had it wrong the whole time, or that hive mind had it wrong the whole time. The ascendance of Luka Doncic is what these playoffs are about. And whether he makes it all the way to winning a title or not, I don't know. It's a formidable obstacle on that Boston team. But either way, I think this has been, and he's been a top five player for 5 years or whatever, but this has been the breakthrough to the elite of the elite. You're not talking about him as like the second tier. You're talking about him in the first tier. But he is in the MVP level player. You can win a title with this guy. He can't take you there, whether he gets there this year or not. He is that level of player, and that's sort of been the story. And so I think of Boston, we're not there yet, but I think it seems likely we're going to get there. I think of Boston, Dallas finals is actually pretty interesting for something that doesn't have a so-called super team and it sort of doesn't have, a player who's done it before. I think, that Luka as an individual player, Boston as a team, and some of that, I think is pretty good.
It's remarkable to think that it was sort of just a year ago we were wondering, is Luka, is he going to force his way out of Dallas? Is he going to be unhappy here given that he can't? That was some of the speculation. You're building around Luka and doing anything you can to persuade Luka to stick around, and it looking like sort of a, I don't know, grim prospect, but there was certainly work to be done. Right?
Well, they were muddling along there, and then suddenly they hit a streak of good decisions. The Kyrie thing was a risk that paid off, and then the moves they made, the Derek Lively thing paid off, and then the trade deadline decision. So, like, three big hits in a row, and I want to say, I don't know how many, like, that team was in the conference finals 2 years ago. I don't know how many other players on that roster were there. I think Dwight Powell, that might be it. In terms of their rotation, Luka is the only player in the rotation of this team that was in the rotation of that Dallas team in the conference finals 2 years ago. They shuffled the entire deck around him, and it all worked. And when in the past, when teams got to that spot, you look at New Orleans with Anthony Davis. Like, it's not working out. You're trying to reshuffle on the fly because you failed to build a team in an organic sense around this star. And now you're sort of desperately shuffling to find something that works. It's hard to get to that situation and shuffle and find something that works, and they did it.
And then on the other side, you got Minnesota. And as you point out, Anthony Edwards hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been transcendent. And Karl Anthony Towns has been certainly in lots of moments bad. I don't know what the reporting is of whether they're going to, and they're not, it's not over yet, but whether they're going to run it back at huge expense, or is Karl Anthony Towns sort of emerging as you know, the scapegoat in this, or the reason, or the
I think people have thought for at least a year that's where things are headed towards moving towns. A, because he's not the guy anymore.
Right.
That's Edwards. B, because you've got three players at that position making a lot of money collectively, and like the current front office, I think, brought in two of those guys, and Towns is the one. And people love Naz Reid, and Gobert drives their defense, and Towns, you know, of course, what can you find a taker for Karl-Anthony Towns to get $50 million or whatever that's worth doing? And then who's the owner going to be? And so I think, you know, when it looked like Minnesota was like rampaging to the finals and might win a title, I think everyone sort of sat back and said, well, you can't break that up. And now, like, if they get swept in the conference finals, then I think you do take a hard look at not breaking it up, but like, you know, fiddling with it. And I think Towns has got to be top of the list of what you think about.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.